Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today we'll talk about the Giants with Ray Woodson, but first I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Ray, this team is the ultimate tease. I mean, all year long, it seems like just when you thought, oh, they're going to get back in the race and maybe they will climb above 500 and they're going to go on a run and things are going to be pretty good here, that's when they drop a game that is really important. And I thought they were done with important games, but really the game on Wednesday was important because all of a sudden the Giants could have been five games back, which is, you know, not bad going into the last month of the season. But it just seems like losing that last game of the series to Arizona and dropping seven games back made a big difference. And I know a lot of people have just kind of said, okay, the season's over anyway, but they were sort of making this, you know, nice little streak going there, you know, winning four games in a row, but they just can't get anything going, especially offensively. And that was the thing on Wednesday. It's just kind of more of the same where this team runs into a decent pitcher and they just can't, you know, put anything together.
Well, the pitching staff let them down because they didn't get the shutout. Apparently, that's what they need right to do now. Because, I mean, the offense is pretty much dead at this point. You got a bunch of people slumping and a bunch of injuries, too. And Buster Posey's out for the year. Now Duggar's out for the year and so on and so forth. They needed to sweep Arizona, even have a twinkle of a hope. And, you know, you take a step back as somebody who covers the team or as a fan, and you look at the standings, and, you know, in the West, they've got three teams to climb over. They got several teams to climb over in the wild card, so it doesn't look good. But if you're a player, as long as you have a shot, you have a shot, and these games do have meaning. And so that was an important game to lose. And, you know, they ran up against a very good pitching performance by Godley, who's got one of the better curveballs around. You might even call it an ungodly curveball. Sorry about that. But, you know, they're going to struggle to score runs for the rest of the year. That's obvious. So it's got to be about pitching. Now, they've had the best ERA in the National League since June 1st. So that part they've got to handle despite all the changes, despite Johnny Cueto having Tommy John surgery. They've come up with the arms, and they've kept it together. And Madison Bumgarner coming back to be the pitcher that we remember. That's been big for them. But, you know, they just love that 500 mark, or they can't get too far away from it. And that's who they are. I mean, we're 130 games into the season, 135 games. That's who they are. They're a 500 team. They're much better than last year, which shows you how bad last year was. But, you know, they just, through the injuries and just the structural deficiencies in this team, they're not going to be a serious playoff team. But the, you know, benefit for them is the three teams in front of them in the West have been beating each other up. So they stayed close.
They did. I mean, I guess the thing that is really disappointing to me with these injuries is that it seems like some of them have come right when a player is hot or just seems like he's, you know, an exciting player that's injecting energy into the team. We saw it with Mack Williamson. I mean, he just looked like a world beater there for about five or six games, and then he gets the concussion and he's never the same. And this time it's with Steven Duggar. I mean, he's really making impactful plays out in center field. He's hitting the ball well. He's coming up with some clutch hits, and then he's diving back into second base, and there goes the shoulder, and he's out for the year. I mean, it's just like every time the Giants come up with some kind of a player that's going to help them, and it's not just those two guys. There have been some other injuries where, you know, right when a player seems to get hot, he gets hurt.
Yeah, Duggar was really hitting his stride and had some big moments this past week, including his first home run at AT&T Park,
a laser off a very tough left-handed pitcher in Patrick Corbin. So, that seems to be the case. And it's never good when you hear, hope to be ready by spring training. That's never a good thing to hear, whether it's Buster Posey or Steven Duggar or whomever. I looked up the injury count for the Giants, and as far as player days lost, they're in the middle of the pack of the National League. Yesterday, I looked at it, it was 975 days. It's going to be more than that now with the Duggar injury. There are teams that have had more, including the Dodgers. There are teams that have lost some key players. But I think that's what really hits home for the Giants, a team that's not terribly deep to begin with. When you have these injuries, they really have an impact. And they really seem to be at a time when guys are just hitting their stride. So that's what makes it tough for a team with very little margin of error. So, here comes Gregor Blanco back into the mix. The prodigal son returns. And that was an interesting moment, by the way, last night. Steven Souza, by the way, is going to the Hall of Fame based on last night's game alone. But here's Blanco hitting a ball to the gap in right center, and Souza makes a long run and a diving catch that reminds you of course, Gregor Blanco's catch in the Mad Game Perfect game right around the same spot.
Yeah, I guess it'll be a nice month of September to sort of say goodbye to Hunter Pence and maybe Gregor Blanco. This is sort of their last hurrah. Maybe you can look at that, because, this team is going to be out of the race. But the other thing will be taking a look at some of the younger players. Most of the guys have been here already, but the one anticipated call-up will be Chris Shaw. He just hit another home run the other day. He's got 24 home runs in AAA, and he was out for a while. He might have hit 30 in the PCL. So I think he'll be an interesting guy to take a look at, because the Giants are going to need more power going forward. And I wonder if they'll get anything if they try to trade Andrew McCutchen here in the next couple of days before the deadline to get on a postseason roster. That'll be an interesting decision to make here in the next 2 days.
Yeah, I don't know how hot the market is for Andrew McCutchen. You think if there was real demand, a deal would have been made by now. But I know there are a couple of teams out there with needs in the outfield, and a veteran guy like McCutchen could certainly help. So it's certainly possible by the end of business tomorrow that he could be dealt, and that opens up yet another spot on a team that's really, really thin in the outfield. So there should be an opportunity for Shaw, who I believe has the most home runs of any Giant minor leaguer. So you got to give him a look. But by and large, I think it's going to be the arms that you're going to be looking at in September. You have Sean Anderson, who was obtained in the Eduardo Nunez trade with Boston last year. He's been doing pretty well in Sacramento. Tyler Rogers might be another arm that's recalled. And, I think that's going to be the main emphasis, is to see some of these guys who might bank up the pitching staff next year. Now, here comes Chris Stratton back after working with Ryan Vogelsong, and looks like a much different pitcher and pitched brilliantly. As good a game as you could imagine against a tough lineup like Arizona's the other day. So bottom line here is, you got to look at the young players in September, but I think they're going to be okay pitching-wise going into 2019. It's about building that lineup, because it's got so many holes.
Yeah, and also the guys who have been the mainstays in the lineup have been a disappointment. Look, Brandon Crawford, he had that terrible April, and then he was red hot, and he was an all-star, and looked like maybe an MVP, and then he just fell off the table. And even Brandon Belt, his average has been plummeting, and Joe Panik isn't the same guy. And, of course, Buster Posey wasn't the same guy, and we know that the hip had a lot to do with as far as driving the ball. But all the guys that have been the mainstays on this team, they've got decisions to make there. I know there are contracts involved, especially with Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford. You're definitely going to keep Crawford, but with Belt, he's got some more years on his contract. So I don't know that you make big changes, but you've got to be disappointed and wondering, what are you going to do? Because those were the guys who really produced for you before.
Well, part of this is influenced by, what are you going to do with Buster Posey when he comes back? How does he respond after the hip surgery? Because he plans to be behind the plate, but what are the Giants' plans for him going forward? Because it's not just the hip, it's the foul tips and the concussions, and you got to be concerned about that long-term for Posey. Now, is he going to give you the production you need out of a first baseman and the fielding that you get from Brandon Belt? No. Belt's been one of the very best defensively at first base in the major leagues this year. He's very inconsistent with his bat. He's very streaky. The year ends, the numbers are there. He's one of the better first basemen in major league, one of the seven or eight best in Major League Baseball. But he's also got a contract that I don't think is egregious, and there are teams that look at Belt and say, hey, he could hit 30 home runs at our place. So you got to look at possibly dealing him. I think they may non-tender Joe Panic, that this may be the end of the line for him. You mentioned Hunter Pence. He's going to be gone. There are going to be some changes. There have to be for this team going forward. They have to get a little more power. They absolutely have to. Does that mean that they're going to construct a lineup like the Yankees? No, they can't do that. They still have to play to the ballpark. But they got to get younger, and they got to get more power and a little more speed. They started incorporating that with guys like Duggar, but they need more of that too.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems, Ray, like it's really about the outfield, because you're not going to change. I mean, like you said, maybe you don't tender Joe Panic, but otherwise, I mean, Longoria is at third. He's got the contract. Same with Belt. Same with Crawford. You're not really making changes there. And the Crawford and Belt defensive dynamic, I mean, you got to keep that too. That saves you runs. So it is all about the outfield. I mean, it's just like you have to restructure it. McCutcheon isn't going to be back. You know, Duggar hopefully is healthy. And then it's just kind of wide open from there. You know, hopefully Chris Shaw shows something, but they're probably going to have to go out and get somebody, right? A free agent or make a trade or something like that.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned Belt. He could probably get you a corner outfielder. But it's going to probably have to be by trade. If it's free agency, it's going to be a mid-level as far as an impact player for the outfield. Brian Sabian said it himself, that free agent sluggers aren't going to come here because of the ballpark. Well, of course, you could change the ballpark, but it sounds like they're not in the mood to do that. You know, you mentioned Mac Williams, and they could move the bullpen mounds off the field. They're not going to do that. I don't buy that they couldn't, that it's not possible. They just don't want to right now. You know, they talk about storage behind center field. Come on now. You can make arrangements for that when it comes to player safety, but it doesn't sound like they're going to do that in terms of the bullpen mounds right now. And they've got that beer garden out there in center field, and I guess that brings in some money. But, you know, the ballpark is going to be what it's going to be. And so you have to construct a lineup that's going to be successful there. But what you see are other teams come in, and their power hitters have no problem leaving the ballpark. Now, the Giants did a very good job against the Diamondbacks this week. They neutralized them. And Paul Goldschmidt hit one out to right center field last night. That's a home run in just about every park. But you hit into Triple's alley, and it's death. And if you've got outfielders with range, they're going to run it down, and that's what happened. But they have to get more power. And so I think that's where you look at the corner outfield position. They may be looking at a change at second base. But, you know, in center field, I think they believe that Duggar is going to be the guy. You know, the shoulder surgery goes well. He's probably got the job. It's his to lose in center field as the leadoff guy next year. And then it comes down to the corner outfield position.
Yeah, Duggar's so exciting to watch. It really is disappointing that he's going to be out, and it's a torn labrum, so he might have to have surgery. We'll see about that. And you mentioned Goldschmidt. He was robbed of a base hit by Brandon Crawford in that series, and one of the great Crawford plays. I know you made mention of it on Twitter. Crawford goes in the hole. I mean, how does he even set his right foot to plant and get a guy like Goldschmidt, who's not slow? I mean, he's pretty speedy, actually. He's stolen some bases in his career.
Yeah.
That was just one of those vintage Crawford plays that kind of sticks in your mind from this season.
Yeah, that's what I couldn't understand on that play. How was he able to stop when he's sliding on the grass? I mean, he had to slam on the emergency brake to be able to plant and get anything on that throw. That was the amazing part for me. You know, we're used to seeing him arranging the hole, you know, tremendous range to field the ground ball, but the throwing part was amazing to me. And that part of the game has not fallen off one iota for Brandon Crawford, and I have every confidence that he'll go in next year and be the same guy, even though he's going into his 32-year-old season. He's very well conditioned, but you see that the bat slowed down. And I think Brandon Belt has had problems coming back, too, after the injury. I think the wear and tear of the season has taking his toll on a bunch of guys, and Crawford's one of those guys. He looked like an MVP candidate first half of the season, but has really plummeted with a bat in the second half, and he's going to be needing a break here coming up too. But I still think you can put the pen in the lineup and put Crawford's name in there for next year and feel pretty comfortable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially what he brings defensively. Hopefully he can get his bat going again. You know, a lot of people talk about, okay, well, there's the shifts that are going to be discussed in the offseason. You know, is there going to be a change there? More strikeouts than hits right now, so maybe that's a problem in the game. But one thing I hardly ever hear people talk about is the September rosters. I mean, it's a totally different game in September, and with that month right around the corner, Ray, I just thought we could discuss it a little. I'm not in favor of having that much of an extended roster where you could have all those players. You normally have 25. Maybe you could allow 30, but to have all of these players, I mean, I don't think anybody goes up to 40, but still, you got all these pitchers and all these call-ups that help out contenders, and it's a completely different game that is managed out there. The managers have so many options that I don't think it's fair, really, you know, watching a baseball game. It's sort of a different game in the month of September. It's not fair to the teams, you know, maybe the first 5 months of the season that played one way. All of a sudden, it's totally different in that last month.
Well, you look at the dugouts of some of these teams, and it looks like a convention. You know,
right.
There's no room to sit. There's 35, 40 guys. Now, it is a totally different game. I think there should be some more study of that in the offseason. You know, just because they've been doing it this way for a long time doesn't mean it's necessarily the right way. And what you have is now, say you're a manager like Bruce Bochy. I mean, you're having a field day because you got 10 guys in the bullpen, and you can make a move every out. And that really slows down the game, among other things, with all the pitching changes. And I've mentioned that before. I mean, the bullpenning of baseball games, as we've seen the last few years, that's been one of the things that slowed down the game because you got to wait for the other pitcher to come in and warm up. So that's something I think baseball has to address and look at ways to make it more uniform. Maybe have call-ups earlier than September. Now, we understand the minor league seasons end, and that this is a time you can call some people up. But, you know, why not examine expanding the roster for the whole year and not have a September call-up?
Yeah, or just maybe limit it. I mean, it just seems like
there's
too many guys, you know. And for the Giants, I don't know that they need to look at so many guys. We mentioned Shaw, and there might be some guys coming back, like a Kelby Tomlinson, and maybe a pitcher, like you said, like a Tyler Rogers or Ray Black comes back. But when you start you start adding a bunch of guys, then – you know, and I'm sure the Dodgers are going to do that. You know, it's just going to be crazy how many pitching changes can be made from the fifth inning on.
Well, yeah. I mean, and as I said, there's been an increase of that the last few years. And so you come to September and the pace of the game really slows down. Listen, I think we overthink it about baseball, about making changes. You know, to me, it's not the time of the game or how many outs or anything like that. The game is fine. I think we've tried too hard to cater with people who have short attention spans. I think it's just the way you make it available to them. But this is one area where it's kind of unnaturally slowed down. And I wouldn't be against limiting it for September for teams. I think it's at least worth a study.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you think? I mean, it's funny because fans looking at the last month have already pretty much canceled this out. I mean, you know, we have as well. I thought maybe if they got to five games, we could start being optimistic again, maybe. But when you get to this point in the season, the players, they have to sort of acknowledge it as well. But they would never say that publicly. But I mean, they're still grinding. But to see everything that's happened to this team, I would think that they're just trying to finish strong, just trying to, you know, sort of pad the stats here in the last month of the season. What do you think?
Well, there's value in any of these games, whether you're out of it or not. There are guys who are going to be auditioning. There are guys who are going to be fighting for jobs for next year. There are guys who are going to be trying to make a little bit of a salary push here. There are all sorts of different motivations. But as a team, yeah, you look at the standings and you understand it doesn't look great. Everybody knows that. They're not delusional. But, you know, again, as long as you still have a shot, you play these games like they mean something because they do, technically. So that's why the last game of the series with Arizona was so important. Had they gotten a sweep, that would have been a slightly different dynamic. Now, I still think it would have been very tough, and the odds aren't with them, not at all. But, you know, remember in 2010, the Padres lost 10 in a row, and the Giants took over by winning like 9 out of 12, something close to that, 10 out of 13, and they flip-flopped the standings there. So you get it in September, and, yeah, you got all the call-ups and things like that, but there's also the wear and tear for a lot of these players. Some guys are slumping. Some are getting hot. It's still kind of up in the air for some of these teams, especially in the National League, where, you know, you don't have the two dominant teams like you do in the American League or three dominant teams. You might even include the A's now in that group. The A's and the Astros and the Indians are very good, and the Yankees and the Red Sox are dominant. The top shelf is pretty well-defined. But in the National League, it's still a jumble. But the problem, again, for the Giants is so many teams to climb over. So that's what makes it a long shot.
Yeah, it's still going to be fun to watch in September. Like you said, to see what some of these Giants players do. And then even watching the other races that are going on because, you know, the Braves and Phillies are going at it. The Cubs still haven't been able to fend off the Cardinals yet. And to have three teams going at it in the National League West, I mean, it's all, you know, really very interesting to watch down the stretch.
No, there'll be a lot of meaningful and high-stakes games coming up, especially in the last couple of weeks of the season. You know, I'm reminded, and, you know, this is probably out of the demographic, but who cares? The 1967 American League race, it came down to four teams on the final weekend of the season that had a chance to win the pennant back when there was just one spot. It was the Twins, the Tigers, the Red Sox, and I'm blanking on the fourth team involved there, but there were four teams. I think the White Sox were involved. Four teams had a shot at the very end of the season, and it came down to the final Sunday. I mean, that was intense, compelling stuff. And, of course, Carl Yastrzemski was unbelievable in the last couple of weeks of that season for the Red Sox, and they ended up winning the pennant. We saw that a few years ago with some play-in games that we had. That's what you love about it when teams are so close and everybody's got a shot. Now there's a lot of mediocrity out there too, but hey, you know, let's face it, the Giants, even in their championship years, had relatively mediocre teams when you compare them to the dominant championship teams, but they got on a run and they got hot at the right time. And so there may be a team we're not even discussing that's going to make a run here in September and October and make some noise.
The Giants need to finish 81-81. They really do. Just to say, okay.
Oh, they will.
Yeah, this was our season. This is what you're going to remember about 2018 is that we were a 500 team, really, the entire season.
They were as 500 as 500 could get. I think it's 20 times now they've been at the 500 mark this season.
Wow.
So it's almost rare when they're not at the 500 mark. The pull is so strong. And it would represent a 17-game improvement from 2017. That's what I think we got to remember here. I mean, the criticism of the front office, I mean, they felt like, and I don't blame a front office for doing what they can to put a competitive team on the field for your season ticket holders. I think as a fan, you've got to appreciate that. It's just, are they the right moves with the money that you spend? You could argue about the Longoria contract. It's going to be pretty heavy. It's more, especially the back end of it. He's had injuries this year, and it's not been a great year for him. But they tried. They got McCutchen. They got Longoria. They knew they had to beef up the lineup somehow. But they improved by 17 games. And, again, they did it with the pitching. But they've got to figure out this lineup. And they got to get Buster Posey back and healthy and driving the ball with a little more power once again. If they can get that, that'll be an improvement in their lineup for next year. They've got to have that guy at the top of the lineup who can set the table for them. How many games this year have the Giants done absolutely nothing in the first four innings?
A lot.
A ton of games this year.
Yeah.
They're one of the worst in baseball in first inning runs scored. So that's got to be an emphasis. Set the table and get something going early. This is what I remember from the 2012 team especially. They were very good at jumping on people right away, scoring in the first and second inning. And that gives you a real edge in a bunch of games. It markedly improves your chances of winning. That's something that I think has to be an emphasis for the Giants in the offseason. Set the table at the top of the lineup.
And how many games has Brandon Belt struck out looking to end the game? Probably three or four of them, I think, right?
I don't know.
Another one Wednesday.
I mean, he's got a great eye at the plate. But his reliance on that sometimes gets him into situations where he is taking pitches that are borderline that maybe you should be fouling off, especially when it's in the end of the game and it's a close game. I think that's something that is a matter of discussion in the front office with Belt. Sometimes he takes pitches he shouldn't be taking, as good an eye as he has. I mean, again, you appreciate the overall product, but I do think there are things about him, habits about him, that are annoying to people in the front office. I do. I like the player overall. I think he's been a benefit to the Giants. But is he instrumental in their success at this point? No, I don't think so. I think you can deal him, and I think you can get something for him. But I'm not in the Belt basher group or anything like that. I do appreciate what he has done for this team. But is he a guy you absolutely positively have to keep? No.
I would agree with that. Well, we'll see what happens here in the month of September with the Giants. Hopefully it's at least a fun month to follow the team. Ray, thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good, Joe.
That's Ray Woodson. Join us again tomorrow, Friday. We'll be talking with Johnny Dosko, the play-by-play announcer for the AAA Sacramento RiverCats, the Giants Pacific Coast League affiliate. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.